from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's May the 8th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, and we'll discuss today's cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, ethanol is becoming the food crisis scapegoat of choice, and we hear again from Washington, D.C., that the Farm Bill is a done deal. We'll have details of these stories and others shortly. And at the end of this half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby May wheat at $8.09, up 14. July at 8.22, 14 and a half higher. In September at 8.35 and three quarters, up 14. May wheat in Kansas City at $9, a penny higher on the day. May corn futures from Chicago, $6.19 and a half, up 17 and three quarters. July futures at 6.30 and three quarters, 17 and three quarters higher. In September at 6.39, up 16 and a quarter. December futures, 6.46 and a half, up 16 for the day. May soybean futures, $12.99, up a penny and three quarters. July at $13.12, up three. August, $13.02 and a half, up one and a quarter. And September futures at $12.75, a penny and a half higher. November beans, $12.45 and three quarters, up a quarter of a cent. June live cattle, $93.65, the trade for the day, $1.82 and a half higher. August futures there at $99.30, up 167 and a half. May feeder cattle at 106.77 and a half, $1.05 higher. The August futures at 109.47 and a half. They finish the day $1.20 higher. May lean hog futures at $79.37.5, up $1.50 for the day. And the June futures finish the day at $76.47.5. They're up $1.20 on the afternoon. The outside markets trading the crude oil now at $123.30, down 23 cents. July futures at $122.85 are down 35 cents on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Urbana-Champaign. Some of the rest of the market numbers for the day. June ethanol futures are trading at 2.59 and 5 tenths. They're now up 3 and 6 tenths for the day. July futures there at $2.55 and 9 tenths, up 2 and 9 tenths. Natural gas at $11.24 and 9 tenths, down 7 and 8 tenths. July futures at $11.36 and 2 tenths, 9 lower for the day. The RBOB gasoline at $3.13 and 7 tenths, up 1 and 8 tenths for the day. July futures at $3.13 and 1. They're up 1 and 8 tenths as well. Heating oil is trading at $3.51. That's up 6 cents on the day. July futures at $3.52, up just about 6 cents as well. Heating oil, of course, trades as diesel as well. June propane now at $1.70, just about a penny higher for the day. July futures at $1.71. They're up 1 cent on the afternoon for the day, too. Gold futures are trading the nearby May contract at $880.60. That's up $11 for the afternoon. June futures at $882.10, up $10.90. The Dow Jones Industrial Average stands at 12,848 at this hour, 34 higher. The dollar at 73.47 is down 0.05 for the day. And the CRB index now trading at 421. That's 0.92 higher for the afternoon. Here's the weather forecast for the two-state region from our own Mike Sola. He says in eastern and southern Indiana tonight, there'll be mostly cloudy skies, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms for the day. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows will range this evening from 38 in northwestern Illinois to 54 in southern Indiana. Tomorrow, he says, partly sunny skies, a chance for a few afternoon showers in southern and western Illinois. Tomorrow's highs will range from 57 in the far northern part of the state to 72 in the southern parts of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us on this Thursday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural markets is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Tell me about this rain-stalled corn planting season and how things traded today.
Well, you can kind of tell the way the market performed today on corn that it is increasingly nervous that we're not going to maybe get all of the corn acres planted that it thought it might get planted just a couple, 3 weeks ago. I mean, USDA did come out with their 86 million planted there on their March report. And then with the prices, the corn-soybean ratio, I think the trade was kind of thinking that maybe that number might grow to 88 million. And then, of course, if you were using a trend line yield or maybe a little bit above trend line yield, we would have enough supply. Maybe it'd still be tight, but it wouldn't be maybe all that bad if we had a perfect growing season. Now, here it is, May 8th. I don't know what the planting number is going to show on Monday. It may show 50%, maybe a little bit more. There has been a lot of activity around, but here we are. We'll be, you know, May 12th, and maybe 40% of the crop has yet to be planted. And when you start multiplying 40% by 85 million or 86 million, that leaves several million acres of corn to be planted. And I think what the market is starting to worry about is, you know, we may not even get to 86 million planted. We may even slip back a couple. And then it's starting to factor in a less optimistic yield. But again, it's not quite panic time. In years past, the panic button has kind of been closer to around May 15th or when the May contracts expired. I mean, that was the case in 1993. I think sometime around May 18th or so, the market says, golly, we're not going to get all those corn acres planted in the way we went. You know, in 1988, during the drought situation, I think sometime around May 20th, the market said, wow, we ain't going to have no rain, and our yield has been severely hammered in the way we went. So I think today's breakout of a sideways pattern here is indicating that we are breaking out to the upside, and the trade will take one day at a time. But you know, we'll have to kind of go from there, Todd. But I do think it is a kind of a serious situation when you look at the demand side of the equation and what could be happening to the supply potential here unless things start drying up pretty quick and we allow, planning to kind of wrap up here.
A couple of interesting stories. I talked to a farmer by phone this morning, and they were in the middle of the state. We're only about, 100 acres or so from being planted on corn. They were going golfing this afternoon, I think, and we're hopeful to get the rest of it in later this week. So there is a lot of corn that has been put in the ground, depending on where you are. And on the other hand, last night in my hometown, I pulled up to the gas station, and there was kind of a low-slung Lincoln Continental sitting there. And a guy was on the cell phone. I looked, this is about 9 o'clock at night. I looked in the back seat, and he's got bags of Pioneer seed beans in the back seat and Iowa plates on the back of his car. So my kids were a little appalled when I knocked on the window and I said, what are you doing? And I kind of thought maybe he really just needed to find soybean seed. And he said, well, when you're looking for quality seed, you got to come to a quality state. I agreed with him on that since we're in the state of Illinois. But I think he had seed beans as opposed to just coming to find beans to plant instead of corn. But those are the kinds of things that I suppose could happen. And farmers need to prepare themselves in what way for the marketing of this crop now? Are there different things that they have to think about depending on how much of a crop they think they're going to get planted, what kind of time frame they're going to get in to put either corn or soybeans in the ground?
Well, I suppose. I mean, of course, each individual farmer is a little different. I mean, I do know that probably here in central Illinois, like I said, I think we've made a lot of progress here, at least in the eastern half of central Illinois. And I know western Indiana is the same shape. A lot of areas in Indiana are probably complete. Indiana, Ohio has been drier. Where the further west you went and the further south you went, it's been wetter. I mean, Missouri is just basically the whole lake of the Ozarks. I think if it rains about one more time, it'll all be a lake down there. Iowa and Minnesota are well behind their average, and they got some pretty good rains again this past week. So that corn acreage number is going to shrink. Now, to what extent everybody's... but. You know, I know here in Illinois, farmers don't like to plant corn on May 20th or May 25th or May 26th, but I'm sure they will. And, of course, the further south you go, the later you can maybe plant without worry about frost. And, of course, our friends to the south of us worry about dry Julys and Augusts because they have a harder time getting that good rain in there during July and August. Than we maybe do up here up north. But, yeah, farmers are have to begin to start thinking, especially the ones that are in a wet area, of what they're going to do and how they may want to attack their marketing changes, because many of them in those wetter areas are going to end up with more beans to market than corn. I don't think necessarily, even though we do increase some bean acres because of lost corn acres, that's going to necessarily turn the bean market into a bearish situation either. I mean, this year's bean crop is going to be very dependent upon a very large and successful double crop planting. So there's a lot of twists and turns that can occur in the bean market, and we may not end up with all the beans planted either. So the growing season is starting out at least shaky for a big crop anyway, but I do know that weather patterns can change overnight. But this one does look like it's a little more severe than what someone would have thought maybe 2-3 weeks ago.
And it's probably important to know today, too, that while you talked about this, a breakout from the consolidation of the sideways trade that we've had recently, also new contract highs put in at least the first 4 months today, May, July, September, and December for corn.
Yeah, and you're going to hear that renewed $7 talk now. It's kind of calmed down a little bit, but I think you're going to see, I mean, the way I read the December electronics chart here, I think we got a quick move to 690 coming, and then we could, you know, going up into the 720 area, and we'll have to kind of take one step at a time. But there are signs worldwide that prices are at a point where we are slowing demand. So you have to be a little leery on that. The dollar does look like it has at least trying, making one of its better attempts at putting in a bottom. We've kind of turned maybe the short-term trend or the intermediate trend into sideways to higher. I think the long-term trend is still down, but that's all how long-term trends get changed, is the shorter term and the intermediate trends turn first. So there are some signs out there that maybe a stronger dollar, slowing demand, you know, may begin to slow some of this bullish upside enthusiasm that basically the whole commodity complex has had for the past several months. But I know technicians are going to be they're going to be geared up for, you know, a good solid run up toward that 7 number anyway.
And what would you do in beans if we go to 720 in corn?
Well, I would not rule out a good solid retracement of the big decline that we've had since early March. November beans, if something could come along, I think you could probably run those up to above this previous high that we had was 1316. I think you could maybe pop that out, and then if you do that, then you could maybe be talking about, you know, a good solid run at 14. So I would not necessarily run out rule out the clock for a good solid retracement rally of the decline that we've seen in soybeans.
We'll have you on Commodity Week this week, too, I think, won't we?
Yep, I'll be there.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow afternoon about 4:30. Thanks, Dan.
Oh, okay.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. He will be a panelist with us tomorrow on your Commodity Week program. We record that at 4:30, post it to our website at about 5:30, 6 o'clock on Friday nights. Tom Fritz is our guest for that program of the EFG Group out of Chicago this week.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
In today's agricultural news, Tuesday, the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs held a hearing on fuel subsidies and the impact on food prices. In opening remarks, Senator Joe Lieberman said, "We've met the enemy, and it is us," stating the good intentions of last December's energy bill, calling for a fivefold increase in ethanol production, may have caused a bad consequence of rising food prices. Bruce Babcock, the director of Iowa State University's Center for Agricultural and Rural Development, testified to the committee that the best approach to current ethanol subsidies, the blender's credit, the renewable fuel standard, and the ethanol import tariff would be to eliminate all three. In an answer to questions from senators, he said doing a piecemeal approach of addressing each subsidy separately, the effects of prices are much lower because the blender's tax credit and the mandate both serve to increase the demand for ethanol. Elimination of only one of these policies would have little impact. Babcock said the 6-cent reduction in the blender's credit currently proposed in the farm bill provides budget savings, but would virtually have no impact on the price of corn, taking them down only about 4 cents. Taking off the blender's credit would have a modest effect, he said. If all three were eliminated, corn prices would drop by about 13% to just below $5 a bushel. Mark Rosegrant, director of the Environmental and Protection Technology Division at the International Food Policy Research Institute, or IFPRI, testified that if biofuel production was frozen at 2007 levels for all countries and for all crops used as feedstock, maize prices are projected to decline by about 6% by 2010 and 14% by 2015. Smaller price reductions are also expected for oil crops, cassava, wheat, and sugar. High gasoline prices combined with existing ethanol plants means that corn prices in the near term will remain well above historical levels, even if the mandate, the blender's tax credit, and the import tariff are all eliminated, Babcock said. This is not to say, however, that the 13% drop in corn prices would not affect livestock margins and eventually food prices. This drop in corn prices would reduce the cost of feeding beef cattle by about 5% of revenue, hogs by 7% of revenue, and Babcock says laying eggs by 4%, along with dairy cattle by 3%. This drop in production cost would eventually, he says, translate into consumer prices that would be lower than otherwise would be. Rosegrant said it was important to find ways to keep biofuels from worsening the food price crisis, and a reduction in mandates and elimination of subsidies for biofuels production would contribute to lower food prices, but even more critical to addressing the situation would be to increase agricultural productivity growth, for instance, through biotechnology, improving developing country policies, and infrastructure related to storage, distribution, and marketing of food. He says these factors will continue to drive the future health of the agricultural sector and will play the largest role in determining food security and human well-being of the world's poor and more vulnerable populations. One other news story for the day, this one on the Farm Bill. Senate Agricultural Committee Chairman Tom Harkin says while some minor issues remain unresolved, negotiating on the Farm Bill was finished up during a closed-door session of the principal negotiators yesterday. The bill is expected to be brought to the floor of the House and Senate next Wednesday. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Thursday afternoon. Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, now joins us for a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, farmers wrapping up there, at least in corn planting.
Yeah, they're in the immediate area here. They're pretty well wrapped up. In fact, we saw a few beans go in the ground here this week even. So in pretty good shape there. Some of the corn that was planted last week we're starting to see emerge. I know it's coming into work today that some of that's starting to peek through. So really things in pretty good shape right through here.
When you see that, are you able to row it pretty well, or does it look like it's scattered in the way it's coming up?
No, it looks like it's coming up pretty even here. And I just starting this morning to see some of that stuff that was planted late last week there.
But it sounds to me like this is one of those areas that's odd in the Corn Belt, that there are an awful lot of places that just aren't planted yet.
Yeah, it's really kind of hard to put a real good handle on it because it's very spotty. I was down towards St. Louis last weekend and all the way, Springfield to St. Louis, so you'll see spots where they're pretty well along, and then you see other spots where there's, not hardly anything done. And I think that's that way pretty much throughout the state.
And it sure looks like Chicago's getting awfully nervous at this time. Is the cash market as nervous?
The cash market actually is weakened a little bit this week, corn and beans. We saw some slow demand at the Gulf. That was kind of confirmed today on the sales reports here. Gulf basis was backed off some, so really a little bit weaker. And the soybean side of it, we're seeing it's a little bit confusing because some processors have switched to the November now that they're bidding off of, and when they did that, pretty much backed their bases off, double digits when they made that move. So, not a lot of strength in the bases this week.
Then another question. We haven't talked about this one for a couple of weeks. Are producers able to get bids farther out than January yet?
It's spotty. My customer base, I would say majority of them can, but there's still a substantial number of customers I've got that can't get even the 08 bids, and a majority of them probably can't get 09 bids.
And how nervous is that making them?
Well, they're trying to find ways to deal with it, and of course they need to be able to do it themselves, and that's some of that is an education process and just making sure they understand how the different tools that are out there to lock in some prices like puts and futures and that type of thing.
Yeah, I suppose you're doing a lot of education on options these days, aren't you, over the phone?
Yeah, seems like it, yeah. Well, maybe the last couple of weeks there's been other priorities on their minds.
I bet there have been. What kind of bids do you have there for the day?
$5.91 on the corn, $5.86 for fall. Beans at $12.67, $11.65 for fall. This week, really, the cash advantage or the per acre dollars per acre to the corn increased about another $8 just using some average yields in this area. So we're still trying to get more corn acres here.
Any final word beyond that one?
Nope.
All right. Thanks much, Bill.
Thanks.
Bill Mayer is with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Each and every Thursday afternoon, you can hear what he has to say and Dan Zwicker and our weather folks anytime you'd like. After the fact, we post them to the website. It takes about a half hour, so 3 o'clock Central Time should be up or thereabouts at willag.org. If you're rained out and you want to try it, go to your computer and do it now. Back in 2 minutes with a look at the agricultural weather forecast. This is the Closing Market Report.
It's National Coconut Cream Pie Day. Coconut is first mentioned in English print in 1555. It comes from the Spanish and Portuguese word coco, which means monkey face. The origin of the coconut is subject to controversy, with South Asia, South America, and New Zealand, among other nations, all claiming to be the oldest source. By the way, coconuts are not just for eating. Partial list of its uses include making of potting compost, charcoal, shirt buttons, cosmetics, and for sound effects. On this day in agricultural history in 1842, Emil Christian Hansen was born. He was a Danish botanist who developed new methods to culture yeast. He revolutionized the beer industry and proved that there are different species of yeast. He refused to patent the method, but instead made it available for free to other brewers. In 1855, John Gates was born. Gates was an inventor, promoter, and barbed wire manufacturer. In 1886, Coca-Cola was first sold to the public at Jacobs Pharmacy in Atlanta, Georgia. By the way, until 1905, Coke was marketed as a brain and nerve tonic. And in 1945, Andrew Sherrett was born. He was an expert on the origins of agriculture. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Urbana-Champaign in the campus of the University of Illinois. We're joined on this Thursday to take a look at the agricultural weather by Pete Levitt, meteorologist. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Can you give us any good news?
Not really. Persistence is a very impressive element in weather, especially in the patterns we've seen the last year or two where patterns just get going and get stuck, and we're stuck in one of these things again. We've got a frontal system that runs from west to the east to the south of us for the most part, and it wiggles north a while, then comes south, but never really cleans out so that we can get clearing weather. We have some rain going on in central Illinois southward, and some locally heavy stuff has fallen earlier in extreme southeastern Illinois where there's some flood watches out. It won't be so bad up north with this system. It'll be a little bit cooler as cooler air sags southward through the northern half of the state. So I think we can stay away from any significant precipitation today. But tomorrow it comes in from the west and we get some more rain across most of the state on Friday. Then Saturday it clears out briefly and Sunday it's back in. And that looks like the heaviest amounts will be on Sunday, pretty much statewide. And then we gradually see some clearing, partial clearing Monday, Tuesday, and guess what? It's back again Wednesday and Thursday. So more of this wet weather, not enough time in between the showers to really let fields dry down. And, of course, the wetter fields are the ones that dry the slowest, and so they need a longer period of dry weather than we have in store. And to aggravate all of this, temperatures will be running below normal throughout this week, averaging probably about 5 to 7 degrees below normal statewide. And that cool temperature just slows down the process. And I think the soft wheat producers can start to get a little apprehensive about some foliar diseases that occur when the weather stays cool and wet through this time of year.
Yeah, I know Emerson Nafziger, agronomist here on campus, wrote an article that will be posted later today, maybe already up on the IPM website about that. I think it only takes about 1% of a wheat crop to have a foliar disease for them to call in the sprayer unit, so they should be watching that. Anything else we need to be watching in the weather forecast?
Well, I think that's it. We just have to sit and wait for it to clear out, and really looking, if we want to even progress into the second week outlook, we don't see any improvement. It looks like the weather gradually moves northward into the northern portions of the Corn Belt, especially in the northwest. And, of course, that with the heavy blue clay soils you have up there in southern Minnesota, northwestern Iowa, they can't get dried out. As everybody knows, the corn planting progress is way behind normal. This is as far behind normal as I can remember seeing for this late in the season for most of those states. And there's really no prospects of getting caught up right away. When things dry out, things can get caught up in a hurry, but not this time. We're just not going to dry out.
All right. Well, thanks much. It sounds like the only good news you have is for the mothers out there that the papas will be in the house on Sunday for Mother's Day, but they might be awfully aggravated.
Well, yeah,
because
they're running out of sports things to enthuse them with the weather like this. So a good time. Well, hopefully that's a note of cheer for Mother's Day on Sunday.
All right. Thanks much.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. Don't forget USDA releases a couple of reports tomorrow morning. If you hit subscribe to our newsletter, I'll email them to you between 7:30 and 8 o'clock. I'm Todd Gleason from the U of I. You have a good afternoon.